sugar, and spice. But we don't play nice. Welcome to Not Your Player 2.
Brought to you by Checkpoint XP.
With your host, Christine Kuki Solis.
You don't like it? Get better.
And Sarah Skopic.
Is this easy mode?
We don't just play as your healers. We play it all.
Hi, welcome to Not Your Player 2 podcast, brought to you by Checkpoint XP and Beasley XP of Beasley Media Group. I'm your host, Christine Solis, aka Cookie, and I'm also joined by my co-host, Sarah Skopic. How are you doing, Sarah?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing well, thank you. We record and live stream at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Come and join us, as this is an interactive show. We'll let you know when we go on because our schedule's been really messed up.
We never seem to be able to pinpoint any decent schedule that's consistent.
We are trying to find a day and time that is very consistent, but because there are so many summer events happening, we got weddings, we got conventions, it's just been hard doing it on a Friday, so we apologize, but come and follow us on social media. Again, that's at Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook, and checkpoint_XP on Instagram. You can find Not Your Player 2 on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download the podcast. Be sure to leave us a review, as again, we would love to read it on the show, good or bad. And we actually have another review to read.
This is 2 for 2. It's 2 for 2.
It's 2 for 2 so far. I'm so happy. And this one is another 5-star review. So all of our reviews so far have been 5-star.
Oh, we're just the best. That's all.
We are. Thank you so much to Wolfie this time. Wolfie is actually a good friend of mine. Yeah. Thank you so much. We were Final Fantasy XI buddies back in the day. Yeah. So he says in his review, informative and fun, up-to-date discussions in the gaming industry while having fun doing so. Keep up the great work. Thank you.
Ooh. It's kind of funny because everyone else has always been really focused. I mean, I know his was like one sentence, but like, it's kind of cool because while we appreciate definitely the whole female perspective aspect of it, we also are just kind of on our own for being up-to-date discussions on the gaming industry. So go us!
Yes. Yes. Well, we hope you guys like our podcast here, guys and girls. But again, leave us a review. Again, we would love to read it, good or bad, as we've always said every day. Or every week.
And every day, too, before we go to bed.
That's true. If you follow us on Twitter, we do say that. So coming up later today, we have What Up With Your Girl. We are bringing that back. We usually try to do that once a month. We focus on the strong female video game characters. Either it's a protagonist. Yeah. Either protagonist or antagonist, either way. And then we're going to talk about some body image in video games. So that's coming up next. But right now, we're going to start off with the gaming news as usual. QuakeCon is happening this weekend at Graveland, Texas. So recently, they announced that Doom 1, 2, and 3 will be available on Nintendo Switch, PS4, and Xbox. It's available now. You can download it. I think it was like $5 per game. And you can do Doom 1 and 2 on mobile device on Apple and Google Play as well. It's totally in line with the 25th anniversary of Doom this year, and as Doom Eternal is coming out later this year in November. Now, I've been seeing a little bit of trouble here because people are saying that they have to sign in into their Bethesda account in order to play Doom. Yeah, so
That's a bit of a problem. They're older games.
Just a little bit. Bethesda did announce this morning that they are working to fix it. So you can still play Doom 1, 2, and 3 without signing into Bethesda, so which is good. Another announcement here. Discord introduced server folders. So for those of you who had joined many, many, many Discord servers like me, just to be in the know, you can actually organize your Discord servers. And Sarah, amazing, you just did it right now.
I just learned that I could use it. When I first started, it wasn't working for me, and I realized it's because I hadn't updated Discord yet. But it's okay. It is still like, They're making fun of themselves for this, but it still makes me laugh how this was now just a thing, and this wasn't there before. But good on you, Discord. I'm glad you finally figured it out.
Thank you for listening, because my Discord list is becoming longer and longer with all the... Well, video games and video game developers are now having their own Discord where they can have their own community in there. So now it's kind of like, wow, so I have to... And go and join this Discord server, and then I have my other communities.
it needs to be organized.
It does. If only they can like organize the notifications, because I still keep getting notifications from Discord servers that I don't really listen to or look at.
Oh my gosh, I know. That's a whole other bag of worms.
Yeah, that's another bag of worms. The ones that's on top of my list is, of course, Checkpoint XP, which you can download join our Checkpoint Discord. It is on our website at checkpointxp.com. Just click the link and you'll get right in there. We need more talkers in there, because I'm tired of you Overwatch people.
Variety.
It's all Overwatch and Fallout 76. I've been typing stuff for the mobile game section and for the movie section. Talk to me.
Cookie needs your help.
Again, that's at checkpointxp.com for our Discord server. Fire Emblem Three Houses, Sarah.
It came out!
It came out just yesterday, right?
Yeah!
Friday. Yeah. So, Friday, July 26th, Fire Emblem Three Houses just came out. I see a review here, or an article that says it's the best Harry Potter game on the Nintendo Switch. Now, I played the Harry Potter game on mobile, so how... Okay, explain to me Fire Emblem. I'm not a Fire Emblem fan, so take
So, yeah, I'll try to explain. And please keep in mind, I am not one of those super long-time Fire Emblem fans. My first one was Fire Emblem Awakening, which was pretty much their introduction into the 3DS, excuse me, of their newer format. But on its base, Fire Emblem's always been a tactics game. So if you've ever played Final Fantasy Tactics, I believe it's a similar kind of format. Basically, you've got your players, you've got your characters, and you could have, like, depending on the battle scene, it could be for anywhere from like 5 to 10 characters that you choose to be on the battlefield. And it's like a grid, and it's like playing chess. You have to like choose a character to go up to another character and do attacks and stuff like that. And there's different strategies involved. That's like it at its core. But over the last years, they've been adding stuff. And the reason Awakening kind of came back on the map was because they started adding kind of those relationship things. And so Awakening was super unique, because one thing that happened was when you kind of have different characters either next to each other, or they can pair up and do battle together on the field against other enemies, they can start to gain like points towards each other, which unlocks support conversations, which once you unlock them, and they go anywhere from like they have a C rank, a B rank, an A rank, and it makes them like better on the battlefield. And what Awakening was so special was you could get married, and then through some plot mechanics, there was a child that was created that would have stats combined basically of their parents. And so then you had a child character that you also could play with. So that was why Awakening was so special. Three Houses, the reason everybody's probably calling it a Harry Potter game is because the storyline is basically you are a very talented but young mercenary.
Okay.
And you are in the middle of, there's this big continent, Fodolin, and there are three different countries that all have their different forms of government. And they used to be at war with each other. But I think like a religion brought them all together. So there's this monastery in like the center of all three of these countries, where everybody from each of these countries can come together to like learn battlefield mechanics and stuff like that, all that good stuff. So you are someone that was not really, you don't really know what your affiliation is, because you were raised by your dad, who's a great mercenary, was really sheltered, but you're super powerful. And they're like, you're awesome. You want to teach at this monastery? And so you're like, okay, I'll be a teacher of peers my own age. That's not weird at all. But at the very beginning, you have to pick a house, which is represented by the three different countries. Because basically, depending on what country you go into, determines what house you join. So,
okay,
like,
so you get to pick, not like Harry Potter, you get a sorting hat and hat.
No. You're picking who you're going to teach, basically.
Got it. Okay, so what are the three different houses?
So we've got Blue Lion, Black Eagle, and Golden Deer.
Golden Deer.
I think I said that right. It is Golden Deer, right? You can tell it's the one I didn't pick. but it's the one, like, it has a golden, I'm just going to make sure that I actually am saying that right, and it's not something else.
I only asked because I saw Robbie tweet that it is Golden Bambi, so.
Oh, it's not Golden Bambi, it's Golden Deer, and I just checked Golden Deer. Anyway, all three of them have a little bit of a different flair to them, but I will say right now, they haven't done a very good job of, like, differentiating two of them, but I'll get to that in a sec. Blue Lion is very much like, I think, your knightly house. The guy who leads it is this very, like, prim, proper, like, trying to be the best knight, but very humble. And okay, he's got his group.
Lion.
Your Black Eagle is run by a woman who, she's also, like, heir to, like, they call themselves an emperor. The Blue Lions call themselves kings. the Black Eagle call themselves emperors. And so she's in line to be the next, like, empress or whatever.
Okay.
And she's very, like, hard-headed, a little rash, but very much like, I gotta prove myself kind of thing, and I'm gonna lead these guys, and we're gonna charge. Okay. You know, she's very, like, go-getter.
And Bambi?
Golden Deer is run by, they're called the Alliance. They're meant to be, I think, like, less of, like, a nobility house and a little bit of a mishmash. Okay. So the guy who leads them, he's this very, like, chill guy. Just like, everything's great. I'm going to flirt with you. He's a super charming guy. So most people, I can tell, already picked Golden Deer. I will admit also it's because his, like, because you get to talk to everyone that's part of that house before you actually get to choose. And, like, on the surface, his characters in his house are all very, like, wild and dynamic. Like, you can instantly differentiate between them. They instantly have, like, very obvious characteristics, while the other two don't do as a good job initially of doing that.
Okay.
So that was the problem. But I still picked Blue Lion.
Wait. I thought you were going to pick the Eagles because it is led by a woman.
I didn't. So, and I know you're all going to be mad at me, but I
didn't.
Okay,
so why? Why? Why the lion?
Very, very shallow reasons. That's why. Because you can get married in this game, and I'm playing for the long haul.
She wants that dowry, guys. She wants that dowry.
Because I wasn't sure who I'd want to marry, because you can't get married till the second half of the game. The second half of the game, because the first half of the game is you being teacher, and, like, you teach a house, but you get to interact with the other houses. The second part of the game is actually, everyone goes into war. So it's actually, I don't know why yet, but everyone goes into war. So the house that you picked, you were fighting against the other two countries, meaning their houses. It gets really intense.
Like a Game of Thrones-ish.
Yes, okay. Actually. So it goes from Harry Potter to Game of Thrones, which, imagine that jump. But the reason I picked Blue Lions was extremely, very, kind of like, I was trying to be tactical, because I happen to know that there were a couple characters that are gay options in this game. I think they're bisexual.
Oh.
But there's a couple characters that can swing both ways as far as marriage. But I didn't know who those were, because it's not everybody. But I know you can marry any of the men, but I didn't know any of the women. So it was more of just a matter of tactical advantage, because I looked, because if I was able to get married to the leader of the Black Eagles, I probably would have gone actually with the Black Eagles. But I wasn't sure, and I didn't want to bank on it, because none of her men in her party weren't really my type. So I was like, oh, I don't really want to take the chance here. And also, to be fair, when I looked at the Blue Lion, I just had a better feeling about the group overall. They seemed a bit more well-rounded as far as their skills, which so far I've been correct about. That was the other reason. But, and also the female characters, even though there's only three of them, I felt like they were really pretty strong in their archetypes and wasn't too, like, fetishizing a little bit. So I felt pretty good about that. But the main thing is that I love me my Dimitri, and he's the leader of the Blue Lions. And so if all else fails, I'm going okay with him. But I did make a good calculated guess, because I looked at one of the characters in the Blue Lions and went, she's gay. She might also be a good choice for me. I'm going to try this, and she is.
Well, you let us know.
I played my cards right. So I got two good choices. I don't know where I'm going with yet. So, yeah, that's why. It was it was both very shallow, but also, like I said, when I talked to their characters, They seemed the least irritating to me. Some of the other house characters were like, okay, you're kind of annoying. But the ones in Blue Line, for me personally, and you're talking to the person who, there's a person in the Blue Lines who's like the stereotypical flirts with every girl that walks. But I still just felt like all the characters there were less like cringy, especially the female characters were very like not cringy to me. So, and the male characters. So yeah, there were a lot of reasons I ended up with Blue Lion. But Dimitri is pretty cute. So that helps.
So you'll update lists later on what happens in this game.
I have not played that much of it. So I basically have played the equivalent of about 2 months in game, which is very little.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. So far, it's not nearly as micromanaging as I thought it was, which is actually good because I was getting really stressed out about the prospect of that. It's a lot less like intense than I thought it would be. But everything else, what's interesting is it really combines aspects of two very different Fire Emblem games. I mentioned Awakening, but it also combines some bits from Shadows of Valentia, which was a remake of an older game, but it played extremely differently.
Okay, so I haven't played Fire Emblem. This Fire Emblem game, what is it more like? Is it more like the tactical, like you were saying with Awakening, or is it kind of like a Persona feel? Or
are you talking about, I'm sorry, did you mean this game?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
This game is very much a mix of tactical with Persona elements, for sure.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So I probably wouldn't play it, but it's fun listening to you talk about it.
Yeah, it's definitely, if you like tactics playing, it seems so far very solid. They usually very solid tactics game as in general. If you can take a bit of like the weebness, so far I would say, because the older Fire Emblem games, like the dialogue, especially the support dialogue, were pretty cringy. These ones, so far, I haven't seen many supports dialogue options, but so far, there haven't been too cringy.
Okay.
So that's been really nice. I think it's because they're very limited. That's why. There's very limited people who can interact with each other in that capacity. So that helps a lot. So yeah.
All right, so we'll just get an update from you later after you finish the game. I don't
pretty
know
much,
long.
Which is going to take some time, so don't expect it anytime soon.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Other news coming up, the Fortnite World Cup is actually going on this weekend as well. We've already had the winners for the Pro-Am, which was yesterday. So the winners of the Pro-Am is Airwax, and RL Grime. They took the first place prize with $1 million. To go to their choice of charity, and then the duos was today, and that goes to Nyrok and Aqua with 51 points. Tomorrow will be the solo finals. So Fortnite World Cup is a big deal because, you know, Fortnite is a huge popular game. Like, I see news articles from like CNN reporting on this. I'm like, really?
I mean, it's probably one of the most popular video games right now. I mean, I work with a lot of kids, and I've known many that were not gamers until they played Fortnite.
I think it's also because of the Pro-Am series. It had a lot of celebrities in there. Claire Grant, Xavier Woods, of course, from the WWE. You have Dante Bosco. He played Rufio and Hook. It's just a lot of celebrities getting into this, so that's making it a lot more popular. And also the fact that there's $30 million in this World Cup alone. So check it out. It's actually fun watching it. Because I don't know, it's just like everyone's just, you know, so together into this game. It's just, it's just one of those community things. So good on Epic Games. Next week, again, will be EVO, the fighting game community biggest tournament of the year, and I will be there next week. So if you are there, hit me up on Twitter and let me know so we can do a meetup. But also, that's going on at EVO, there will be the first ever Women of the FGC panel at EVO. So yeah, Combo Queens will be holding this. They're basically an FGC group of women, of course. And so the parents will be Samantha Persia Hancock. She is the founder of Exo Academy. It's basically a women academy, training, giving advice on how to play fighting games for women, so which is pretty cool. You got Emily Nixlerose Tran, and she's the owner of Equinix Gaming. I think I said that right. It's EQNX.
That's what it is, in case you're confused.
FGC, someone asked in the chat, what is FGC? It's, again, sorry if I did not say it. It's Fighting Game Community. Also in this panel will be Caitlin Eldelon Thayer. These names, I can, please. You know, I suck at pronunciation.
You're doing better than I was.
She's the co-director of Combo Breaker, and done amazing event planning with like CEO and Evo as well. Ricky Ortiz is a familiar name that we know of. She is a veteran in the FGC world. She actually placed second in 2010 in Evo for Street Fighter 4 and second in 2016 Capcom Tour. So, I would love to talk to her. I hope I get to talk to her next week. And then there's also Marine Sivangsa. Oh, gosh. Again, another name I cannot say. She was the one that we reported a couple weeks ago who beat one of the pro players at CEO 2019. So if you're at Evo, check it out, the panel. I will be there for sure. And I'm excited. I'm super excited to check this out. Also, Video Games Live happened in Detroit this past Tuesday. If you haven't checked out our website at checkpointxp.com, we do have an interview with Tommy Tallarico. You may have known him as the video game composer for Earthworm Jim, Metroid Prime, Prince of Persia. He is also the founder of this Video Games Live Symphony Concert. Now, I went to one a few years back, and I know this was your first time going. How was it? Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. It was definitely a lot of fun. Tommy is, you told him a rock star. I mean, that's definitely him.
Yes.
he's something else. I was there when we got to interview him, and he is a force to be reckoned with. He is a very unique individual. Just very driven. I don't know how he has time for anything or anyone in his life, because this is what he lives and breathes, is video games and music and all of this stuff. So yeah, Video Games Live was definitely really awesome. I think the best part about it was how they would kind of show an intro or something to kind of give you a hint of what was to come. And then, yes, of course, you can all scream about it. So there were a couple times that especially Joe and I were just screaming our heads off. We had no idea that Undertale was going to be there. And so when that music came on, we about screamed, because we knew that some of our favorites are going to be there, but we had no idea about everything. So it's definitely worth it if you ever get the chance to go. He puts together the videos that go on there. And that's what's so impressive, is the music has to go in timing with the video. So it's crazy. That's why you see the director, the conductor, having to look up at the video just to make sure they're on beats for everything.
Is this your first video game concert?
It is.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. No.
I know that's normal, but it's still just impressive to me. So, yeah, I had a lot of fun. And definitely, he puts on good shows. So, definitely check it out if they are ever in your area.
It's a Pelican in our chat at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Ask, how does it compare to Final Fantasy concerts?
Sarah, I wouldn't know. Joe would be a better one to ask, because he's actually been to one. I personally feel like this is more fun because it's more variety. I'm sure the Final Fantasy concerts are really great and very beautiful. Yes. But my gut reaction would be like, this is really fun because there's more variety of music instead of just the same, not the same music, but you know what I mean, the same series of games.
The only difference between the Final Fantasy concert and the Video Games Live concert, exactly what you said, Video Games Live, it does have a variety. Final Fantasy concerts is very beautiful. It's very niche and very fun. If you're a Final Fantasy fan, you would love Final Fantasy music versus Video Games Live. Let's just say that. So there are all the different niches with these video game concerts, because like I know there was a Zelda or Zelda, Link to the Past, Zelda, whatever.
Legend of Zelda?
Legend of Zelda, thank you. There's Legend of Zelda Symphony Concerts. There's Kingdom of Hearts Symphony Concert. There's a Metal Gear Symphony Concert. So it
there's
really
Phoenix Wright Concerts, but none of them are in the United States. It makes me mad.
So if you are ever into, you know, if you ever do see any of these symphony symphony concerts in your city, check it out for yourself, because it's definitely an experience. You would feel joy just like watching the videos up on the screen and the music just like coursing through the building. It's just an experience that you have to do yourself. And Trash Panda. We have Trash Panda and Debelican in our chat making fun of me because I've been talking too fast. And I said, Link to Zelda, Kingdom of the Hearts, etc. I get it.
The Kingdom of the Hearts.
Anyway, let us know if you have been to one of the video game concerts. No, we would like to let us know your experience. I mean, which one would you recommend? Again, we're on social media at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. All right, there's a study on the internet recently. It's basically the study of sexualization of women in games doesn't impact women's body image was basically the headline of this article. So I clicked it, of course. It's a great headline. So basically, Stetson University at DeLand, Florida, Chris Ferguson and Danielle Linder, they are professors of psychology at this university. They did a study if the sexualization of women impacts us. Like, do we see them and say, hey, we need to be this beautiful woman that's on the screen before us? So how did they do the study? Basically, they took the two Tomb Raider games. Of course, Tomb Raider, because she's, you know, she's Tomb Raider.
Before and after images.
Yes. So they did take an old Tomb Raider Underworld. So it's that very sexy, feminine, with the bikini strings coming out of her pants, etc. And they took the 2013 Tomb Raider. And they asked this group of women to play these games. And they asked, does it affect your way of thinking of women's body image? Now, they did say that it doesn't, according to this study, which, okay, sure. I guess this day and age, it shouldn't affect us as much. But I'm sure back in the day, it would affect us. Would it?
I need to look at this myself, because based on that description, I have a lot of problems with how they even did that study. For instance, you can't just, I mean, I'm guessing that they had done a measure, a scale that they would have the ladies like circle answers afterwards, because we're not going to say consciously that it affects our body image. That's not how body image works. It's all subconscious thinking. But I'm going to assume that it was subconscious they were checking, because they are psychology professors. So the only other thing that I find really funky is, but you need to correct me on this.
Okay.
Tomb Raider Underworld. How old is that game?
Tomb Raider Underworld was like 19. It's like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, these guys are kind of dumb. I'm sorry. Okay.
Whoa.
Sorry. I should not say that of psychology professors, but I'm a little shocked. Here's why. What's the difference between how Lara Croft looks in those two games? Just how were the graphics?
Well, okay, so it says 2008, sorry.
Maybe it's a little bit better than I think it is.
No,
okay.
She was just very more skin revealing, let's just say that, in Underworld.
The reason I want to just kind of take a look at this and how it actually looks is because now the idea that video game characters don't necessarily affect our body image isn't super surprising, because when you because there are studies when it looks at body image where things that like of a cartoon nature or even Barbie dolls don't necessarily have great impacts on body image, because our brains can logically know that they're not real. It's cartoons, it's a Barbie doll, all that kind of stuff. Okay, it is a bit more realistic looking. Yeah. I was afraid it was like the old like Lara Croft games, and that's why I was like, are they that dumb? But no. Okay.
Yeah, like, DeFalco and Shaz says, yeah, man, those 1998 Tomb Raider cone breasts could totally make a woman feel
right. Insecure. That's why I was like, that's why I had to ask. I was like, they weren't that dumb, were they? Okay, no, this makes a little bit more sense, at least.
It's 2008, so it does look more realistic. It's just more skin revealing.
Yeah. That's what they were trying to check.
Right.
So this actually isn't super surprising because, like I said, our brains are usually able to naturally adapt to the idea of this isn't real. So it doesn't necessarily, it's not going to necessarily have a strong effect. Although one study I was reading showed that Barbie dolls did show an effect of body image for really little girls, but it kind of went away as they got older.
So question. Have you ever seen a video game character and say, hey, I want to look exactly like her?
Not in the way of, oh, I don't like my body kind of way, which I think is a major difference. Because when it comes to body image, what they're really looking at is the idea of my body isn't good enough. I want to look, that is the better body to look like. As opposed to just simply being like, wow, that's really, that character's really hot, if only. So that's kind of the difference that we want to look at. So as far as for me, I may have looked at a video game character, been like either, oh, I want to wear those clothes, or like, oh, wow, that looks she looks really cool or even sexy. But I wouldn't necessarily say that my issue with body image has come from, oh, video games, those characters, man, that's how I should look like. Do you kind of know what I mean by that?
Has it happened? A little bit. Well, I mean, sometimes I look at Lara Croft, I'm like, man, I do wish I do have that kind of body. I'm like, I know it takes work, but she is running around a lot, and I mean, that makes her fit. For me, I'm just sitting behind a computer, so I'm not running around whatsoever. I am not going to have a body like her, but I can, you know, try, but, you know, it's there. But stuff like, I guess, Trash Panda TV mentioned Ivy from Soul Calibur, stuff from, like, Soul Calibur or, like, Dead or Alive video games is just, yes, my brain turns on, this is not realistic. So I don't think it really bothers me. I mean, just like, even like games now accepts more of the different body types of women. I mean, look at Overwatch, you have Mei, who's kind of like a little thicker girl, but she's like so damn cute and like, like you just love her, but...
And I think that's what's important is that, of course, it's really easy to look at these results and go, oh, so who cares? Why do we care about body representation? Well, because it's boring, guys. Like, let's not even take from the idea that it's affecting negatively women, because it's not to say that it's not negatively affecting at all, but maybe it's not necessarily negatively affecting in this manner, but it's just so dang boring. it's also not fun. Like, I'll give you a different example. I am very short. I am 4'11".
That's true.
And in some ways, that body image issue has actually probably been more of a detriment to my life than anything with weight, being short. And I will say that when it comes to video games, there is this that weird feeling I get where I know it's not real, but it does feel, ugh, everyone's always tall. So yeah, when there's a really short person that's in a video game, I get really excited, especially in some kind of cool, like really cool action video game, not just some game where it's all cutesy little girl. So there's even just the idea of, oh, you know, I this is a power fantasy for me. So even if it's not negatively affecting as far as, oh, if only I was tall and I hate myself or I hate my body for it, which I'm being really facetious on saying that, but you know what I mean. It's still, there's something really awesome when, yeah, I get to play as a very short girl that can kick everybody's butt. There's something really power fantasy about that. So that's why representation is still really important.
It is. But again, it doesn't have to do with body image. I think we're mostly looking at the story of video game characters versus how they look like. I mean, yes, how they look like is great. I do want to dress up like them. That's a whole fashion statement. That's totally different from body image.
Yes.
But I don't think it's a problem, and which is great that they featured the study, because they do say, well, the professors, they theorized, it says, quote, participants identify the sexualized video game protagonist as fictional and thus not a realistic source of messaging about women's bodies, which is great because that's our day and age now where we don't care what video game characters look like.
Absolutely. If you want to get me in a rant on body image issues, it's really not video games or even, like I said, cartoons that I target. Those aren't the ones that I get worried about, because I can tell you from my personal experience, that's not what affected me. It was never really the video games. Yeah, you know, you get the curviness and the sexualization and stuff like that. But yeah, like you said, that's not really the problem with overdoing that sort of look.
No.
As I said, there's nothing wrong with sexiness. It's just how you use it and how often it's being used.
Now, does this go around to the guys too? Like, is there enough men in the video games that look like men today? Or do men today look at video game characters and say, hey, I want to be just like Nathan Drake? Or
yeah, I'd be very curious about that, because there are some, you can kind of do a lot of similar thoughts as far as it's very obvious when you're sexualizing a woman's body, but in some ways for the men's it's almost more subtle how they do it, but it still can be just as unrealistic if you really want to go out there. So I would be curious to see about that too. I would think it'd be the same, but it's probably not as well studied just because we're always worried about sexualization of women.
Yeah, yeah. I guess one of the studies actually did say that they tried to do a study on the Grand Theft Auto games, but then they realized that more younger audience play Grand Theft Auto, so more like the teenager or 12-year-olds playing Grand Theft Auto. So that didn't really go well with their study.
Yeah. Whoops. Parental permission is hard.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. I think there seems to be more of a range with male video game characters. I mean, you get the bigger
body types.
Yeah, body types.
I certainly have felt like that. I will say for women, it's getting a lot better.
It is getting better.
Way better. But yeah, I would say I have certainly felt that way just in the past. I'm talking like once they've actually, you know, had upper higher graphic fidelity. But even from just the standpoint of in an RPG, your female characters usually kind of had similar looks. Maybe you had your more waify versus your more curvy ones. But with the male characters, you kind of ran a bit more of a gambit. You had your protagonist who was fit and thin and healthy. You had your bigger, bulky guy. You might have had, like, your little tinker guy. And so, yeah, I think in older games especially, it felt a bit more variety.
More variety.
But, yeah. Nowadays, like I said, it's a lot better. But
it's getting there. It's still a little iffy with female video game characters. We gotta have the big boobs and the thin waist and the
They're still getting through that. I think what's especially kind of alarming is Dead or Alive, the volleyball game, right?
Yes.
I forget what the actual game is called because they no longer do zombies anymore, and there's so many zombie title games. So Dead or Alive, but I think about games like that exist that are literally just the same bodied women to be looked at sexually, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, okay, we just had a game of the exact same body type all of a sudden that are just all for sexual justification reasons. So that alone is just not equal. There's not really a good similar game type of that with men.
Well, I don't know, because Trash Panda TV and Do It Better Gaming says, you know, where is the dead bod representation in video games? That's what they want to know.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I just feel like, I don't feel like it has been represented till now, really, but that there was
other
kinds of bod representations. Like I said, your big bulky guy versus your fit guy versus your older guy. There was just even, it wasn't dad bod, because that wasn't really a thing back then. But yeah.
Getting there.
Download Dream Daddy, whatever it's called, that one visual novel where you try to romance daddies. They ran the gambit.
It's a great game, by the way. You should play that.
I need to play. I have it. I've been meaning to play. I just haven't had a chance to yet.
So there are, again, what we're saying, yes, there are different male bodies out there, but not for women. Like, you don't see a lot of thicker women on there. Like all I can think of is May right now. Like, I don't even know who else is another thicker woman out there that has a bigger body in video game.
Unfortunately, when you do have like a when they try to do like a thicker woman, it's kind of poked at. You know what I mean? It's almost like, LOL, we're different in a way of doing that. It's not really seen as, like I said, you know, I think of my big bulky guy. I'm thinking of like my Steiner from Final Fantasy IX. And yeah, he's kind of a dork, but you see those kinds of body types in all those, in a lot of RPGs, and it's just kind of played as straight. Like, yep, you got your big tank. While when it's a woman that's a big bulky, it's kind of, she's got to have to like over-masculated voice, and she's all about, it's just not done well, so it's not seen as just another body type.
You said Final Fantasy IX, and now I think the queen was actually a thicker woman, but they always see queens as a bigger, you know, royalty just sitting there.
Right. That's so fair. But again, like, are you talking about, sorry, when you say queen, do you mean Queen Braun, or
yes,
do you mean
queen?
Okay, sorry. Yeah, but even then, I mean, she was pointed out for being fat. They called her a fat ass several times in the game. So even then it was, yeah, she's there, but LOL. So I don't count that.
I saw her more of as a clown because that face paint on her.
Yeah, look at her face. But that's what I mean. That's what I mean. It was played up for almost laughs. It wasn't really taken seriously. I mean, I've been playing that game. They keep calling her the fat ass queen with a beautiful daughter. How'd you have a beautiful daughter like that, you know?
Because she's adopted.
I know, but yeah. Yes, and there's the fat princess.
Spoilers.
I know, I already heard. But I already figured it out, I should say. Yes, there is a fat princess game. Yes, I know.
The whole point was feeding the princess cake, so it's like, that,
I know.
That's the
reason
I
get tired of that example. I have actually had people throw that in my face as like, well, see, they're the fat princess game, because the game developers purposely made a game with the idea of, you guys are complaining that there's no like fat female character, so here's a fat female character. And I'm like, great, wonderful job, guys. You feed this girl till she's fat, and then or whatever.
That's
thank
not a
guys
good name.
Wonderful representation, gold star for you.
Had now I want cake.
I had the biggest slice of cake yesterday at the wedding. It was very disgusting. Anyway,
let us know what you think. Do you really think body image and video game characters affect you, yourself, men or women? Let us know. Again, connect with us on social media at CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. With Your Girls and Not Your Player 2 segment, where we highlight strong female video game characters, whether you're a protagonist or antagonist. We retell their story and tell what we admire about this particular character. So, in light of Evo next week, we are turning to another well-known popular character. Everyone should know this character, and that will be Chun-Li from Street Fighter.
Woo!
So, Sarah, what can you tell us about Chun-Li?
Well, she was the first female fighter in any fight game franchise ever, which is crazy to think about. She was introduced in 1991 in Street Fighter II, so it wasn't even in the first one. Picked China for her fighting abilities. She's master in Chinese Kenpo.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, her name means beautiful spring or spring beauty in Chinese. Nicknamed Chinese girl around the office during development, which is probably a little racist. But all right. Her background story, because Street Fighter always has the most interesting of background stories, she was an undercover Interpol agent seeking to avenge the death of her father at the hands of M. Bison and his criminal organization. So
that's
butt to kick.
Yes.
Capcom only had 5 weeks to develop Chun-Li as Street Fighter 2 was getting ready to be released.
Oh my gosh.
In like the top roster.
5 weeks. That's a short amount of time.
What that tells me is when they were first designing Street Fighter 2, they had no intention of putting her or probably another female character in it. She was a last minute addition.
Probably. That's what it sounds like.
Anyway, that's okay. Look how far we've come, guys.
I know. Chun-Li's like super popular.
I know. Main designer is Akira Akiman Yasuda, and she is known for her thick thighs. It's rumored that Akiman had a fetish for it, and it just got bigger in Street Fighter 3 and Street Fighter 4. Other character designer Daigo Ikeno was also into thick girls and used to express more of her animations. Of so course. Yeah, that's why she's thick. Which is really weird to think about.
If you think of, yeah, if you're just only thinking about her thick thighs, it's like, okay, why? But then it just makes sense with her moves. Like, all she does, you know, she has her speedy kick, right? I don't know what they call it. I was looking up the names of her moves, and it's just hard to pronounce, so I'm not going into it. She has her speedy kick. She is the one that she goes upside down and does her little spin kick. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I played her all the time whenever I got into a Street Fighter game. So, spurning big kick. She doesn't say spinning bird kick in the game. Well, maybe she did, but like, there's an actual Asian name for it. So, I am not going to pronounce that.
Yeah.
She might have said that in the English games, whatever. But I want to do, you know, more natural origin of what she really is.
I gotta say, despite the fact that, you know, I had no idea that the reason she was so thick was because the developers had a weird, you know, fetish for it. That's more than I needed to know. So even though that's a little strange and problematic, I have to say it is rather exciting that it's the first female character. She wasn't this extremely skinny or even this overly busty person, which nothing wrong with ladies who look like that, but in a fighting game, the idea is a lot of muscle and taking down people probably twice your size. So it is kind of nice at the very least that, nope, she got thick thighs and going to crush your skull between them.
Tom Tanian in our chat at twitch.tv/checkpointxp says, I think she's the only character from the Street Fighter with her own movie, which is true.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh. See, that's the thing. I mean, when they, it makes me think that like they had only 5 weeks, which makes me think that originally they thought, eh, we don't need it. And then one person said, nope, you got to do this now. And so they put her in probably not even thinking that she would all at all be well liked, but that's why you get different things in games. It's why that kind of diversity is important, because people want it, they like it, it's different.
And the fact that it came from a fetish.
Yeah, I mean, that's
see, guys like thick women.
Nothing wrong with thick women, they're all lovely.
Anyway, but there's so many portrayals of Chun-Li, even through cosplay, through movies, through TV, through anime. We're not going to talk about the Marvel versus Capcom game because her face looked ugly in it, and I know they changed that, but it had so many portrayals that she's totally well loved. It's that even, have you seen the one portrayal of Chun-Li that Jackie Chan did? It was one of the greatest portrayal of Chun-Li ever.
Oh, I'm looking it up right now, so you're going to get my live action reaction.
Oh, you're going to look it up right now. It is,
I'm looking this up.
It is right one now. Of the best portrayals of Chun-Li,
oh,
at least to me.
Oh my gosh, it's beautiful. Oh, he's so beautiful. Oh my word.
No, you gotta watch the action, because he actually like moves around and does the...
Yeah, yeah, I've seen part of it. I just didn't want the video to be hurt here. Let me mute my video so you guys don't it doesn't get awkwardly in here. Let's see. Okay, no, I saw him do a spinning kick. Let's see what else he does for me. This is pretty great.
I love Jackie Chan. He just like knows how to be animated.
Oh my,
and
oh my gosh. Oh, he's great.
And he does even like the little victory pose. It's like so super cute.
Oh my gosh. That's so great. This whole thing's fantastic. Anyway, that's the happiest thing I've seen all day.
And I like how you pointed out, like, she doesn't have, like, the biggest moves of all, but she has the thick thighs. So, you know, even anybody can portray her. Like, have you seen there's also this, the best little itty-bitty toddler kid portraying as Chun-Li at Comic-Con? Like, her picture was, like, posted on every news page of that Comic-Con. So, I would cosplay Chun-Li, but I don't have the
size. Oh, she's so cute!
I love how, like, I'm talking about this and Sarah's, like, looking it up on her phone.
What we have technology for, folks. Oh my gosh, she's adorable.
powerful.
Yeah, and Trish ran down in the chat says Chun-Li is like one of the first female characters on the cast with other prominent male characters, and is pretty much held equally and memorable and prominent. Yeah, of course. Yes. She's very well respected. And, and I think that helped trend other female characters into the fighting game community. I mean, other than Chun-Li, you have people say her name differently. Sakura, whatever.
Sakura, yeah, it's fine.
See, I say Sakura sometimes.
Sakura, but. Yeah, either way.
Tomato, tomato, potato, potato, okay, caramel, caramel. So what? We get it. Like, she's another female character that's, like, well known in the Street Fighter community game. Tekken games have added more female characters in their game too. I think there was that whole generation of just female characters getting into the fighting game after Chun-Li. So she's a prodigy. She's the original fighting game character, and also one of the most original video game female video game characters since the beginning, I guess, in the 90s. But she's not Princess Peach, but
no, but she is Chun-Li.
yes. Anyway, what other facts do you know of Chun-Li? Let us know. And do you main Chun-Li on Street Fighter? Let us know again on our social media, Checkpoint XP at Twitter and Facebook, Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That will do it for today on a Not Your Player 2 podcast. Again, we live stream on twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Turn on your notifications on social media so we will let you know when we go live with Not Your Player 2. You can find Not Your Player 2 on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to the podcast. Leave us a review and we'll definitely read it on the show, just like Woofy earlier on the show. Thank you so much again for the review. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find more information, news, interviews, and our other shows, including our nationally syndicated radio show, Checkpoint XP, as well as our other podcasts, such as The Other Identity, which is all about comic books with Robbie and Joe. Joe. Thank you. And then Low Teen Damage, our Overwatch and Overwatch League podcast with Robbie and Norris. Thank you again so much for joining us here on Not Your Player 2, and we're signing off.
Bye-bye.